Okay. Well, today we're going to pick up where we left off last week. We were starting a little summer series dealing with the Greek preposition ek. And in light of our business meeting following the service, I thought rather than putting together a message that would take me over the hour, we would just continue along the lines of what we started last week. And last week we introduced the Greek preposition ek, and we mentioned that it occurs approximately 915 times in the New Testament, depending on which manuscripts, group of manuscripts you want to consult. John's writings contained the most frequent use. We defined the resultant meaning of ek as out from. And so to differentiate it from apo, which is just from, out from. And we see that it's translated in most singular translations a number of different ways. We see of, from, out of, by, or on. But the resultant meaning generally works wherever we find it out from. And so I like to just, although it may seem a little stilted, I like to translate ek out from just to distinguish it from other prepositions that we find. Now, last week we looked at some examples and we saw that it's used of place. It's used to describe the place in which something has moved out from. We also, this one was a little trickier, but we see it occasionally used of describing time, of a point of time in which time moves forward from. And so we went to John 9:1 there and saw where Jesus said, where it was recorded, Jesus saw a blind man out from birth. And so from that point, birth forward, he was blind. And then finally, we mentioned that we find it being used to describe or denoting the origin or source of something. And so we went to a number of examples considering some of the different uses we find ek. Now, when we find ek preposition, we only find it used, and this is just for some of those that are in the Greek, when you learn your Greek prepositions, you have to learn the definitions according to the cases that follow the preposition in the Greek. Well, with the ek preposition, you just have one. And so it's always found in an ablative or genitive form. And so our out from generally works. You don't have to remember other definitions for other cases with this preposition. So today, what I would like to do is just pick up where we left off last week, and we want to just look at some examples of ek and how it's used. And so from here on out, I'll probably systematize, our message will be coming from ek from a systematized approach. And so we won't be preaching ek, but we'll be looking at how it's used to emphasize certain truths. And so today I'm going to take you to a few different places. I want to start in the book of 1 John. And we mentioned we find ek used more frequently in John's writings than any of the other human authors. And so in 1 John 3:8, though, we see this used of the devil, out from the devil. And I think we'll go to a few places, but we'll see that unbelievers find their source in Satan, out from the devil or Satan. And in 1 John 3:8 is where I'm going to pick up. And so in 1 John 3:8 just reads, he that is committeth, the King James read, is doing, and I would say habitually doing is kind of the idea that it's habitually doing sin, is of the devil. And so they translated ek here of is just out from the devil. It says, for the devil sins from not the beginning, but a beginning. It's Anarthrus, a beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest that he might destroy, or the idea of loose, the works of the devil. And let's just go ahead and continue on through verse 11 here. It says, all of the ones, or it reads whosoever, but just literally all the ones, having been born of God. And so here's another ek. And so it's out from. All of the ones having been born out from God, and it is articular here, the God, do not commit sin, or just the idea of a customary idea of habitually sin. All of the ones having been born out from the God do not habitually sin, for his seed remains in him. And he cannot sin, the idea of habitually sin, because he is born, now here's another ek preposition, out from God as the source. And so here we're seeing some things reinforced. Unbelievers find their source or origin in the devil. A believer finds his source of his new birth in God. And here it's emphasizing the first person of the Godhead, the Father. Let's go ahead and read verse 10. In this, or just literally by this, the children of God, the born ones of God, are manifest. They're made plain. And the children of the devil, and the children of the devil, whosoever is doing righteousness, or I'm sorry, let me reread that. Whosoever is doing not righteousness is not out from God as the source, neither he that loves not his brother. And so let me just... And so we had another ek preposition. He's not out from God as the source, the one not doing righteousness. And then we get to verse 11. For this is the message that you heard from, not the beginning, but a quality of beginning, that we should love one another. And so love, being able to manifest God's quality of love, really is one thing that makes a major distinction between a believer and an unbeliever. The unbeliever does not have the potential to love as Christ loved. And so, you know, the world doesn't recognize that. The world has its own quality of love. It's an emotionally based love. And God's love is completely different. And a spirit-filled believer has the potential to manifest that divine quality of love. And that really marks a born one from an unbeliever. Now, let's go ahead and we're considering unbelievers here. I want to go in believers. Let's go back to the book of John. And in chapter 8, in the book of John, we find the Lord speaking to some Jews here. And he's going to say some things that they're not going to be really fond of hearing. And so if you turn to John chapter 8, and I want verse 44, but I'm going to pick up in verse 42. And so he's talking about who their father is, their spiritual father. And so he says in 8:42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came out from God. There's our ek preposition that they translated from. It's ek, out from as the source. He came out from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. He says, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. And then he's going to say here, he says, ye are of your father. And this, they translated it of, this is the ek preposition. Ye are out from your father, the devil. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from not the beginning, but a quality of beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks, not a lie, but the lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And let's just go ahead and read on down to verse 47. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And the idea there is to reprove or convict. And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is out from God, there's another ek preposition that they translated of, he that is out from God as to source, hears God's words. Ye therefore hear them not. See, they're not out from God. He's telling them that the devil is your spiritual father. He says, you therefore they don't hear his words. Because, and then he kind of sums it up here at the end of verse 47, and we have another ek preposition, because ye are not of God, but our ek preposition, you are not out from God as to source. And so here we see these unbelievers as being referred to as out from the devil. And so we also find verses that tell us that unbelievers are out from the world and the idea of the world system. Let's take a look at John 8:23. And so here he's speaking to these Jews, and he says, and he said unto them, ye are from beneath. And it's they translated it from here. This is our Greek preposition, ek. Ye are out from beneath. I am out from above. And so here we have two ek prepositions, and we're going to have two more. He says, ye are out from the world. They translated ek here of, but he's saying you are out from the world, or this world. I am not out from this world. And so here he's making distinctions as to origin or source. Now let's go back to 1 John, and we'll see another example of this related to unbelievers. And then we'll come back and relate it back to believers. In 1 John 4:5, and the they here in this context would be unbelievers, and it says they are out from, it says of the world. And so in 1 John 4:5, in our English translation, they've translated the ek preposition of here. It says they are out from the world. Therefore speak they of, and another ek preposition, out from the world. This is their speak out from the world, and the world hears them. So the world is their source. They speak out from the world, and the world hears them. He's basically talking about the inhabitants of the world system. Remember, the world system is Satan's baby. And so now let's look in some contrast, because the believer, we see a believer is not described as out from the world. This is something that changed with a new birth. And so let's go back to 1 John 3:4, and you can see the contrast to a believer. And we read this last week, but I wanted to come back to it. In 4:4. In 1 John 4:4, ye are of God. They translate it by the ek preposition of. He's saying ye are out from God. little children, little born ones. And so this is going back to the new birth. You are out from God, little born ones, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And so then we already read verse 5, and you can see that it's related to unbelievers. They are out from the world. But let's go to 4:6 now. And here John includes himself, and he says, we are out from God as the source. So this of that they translated is the ek preposition. We are out from God. He that knows God hears us. And so John is talking about himself, other authors of Scripture. He that knows God hears us. He that is not out from God. So we have another ek preposition here. He that is not out from God as the source hears us not. He doesn't hear us. Hereby, and it's another ek preposition. It's just literally out from this. Experientially know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Let's go ahead and read down through verse 8. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is out from God. So another ek preposition. Love is out from God as the source. And so here, I mean, another place you just see that you have to be a spirit-filled believer. You cannot generate Christ's quality of love in and of your own strength. You have to do that with the cooperation of the Holy Spirit. And then you have to direct it. And when you direct it, it says, let us love one another. For love is out from God, and everyone that is loving, or loves, is born out from God. And so we have another ek preposition. So you see, God is the source of one's new birth and experientially knows God. He that loves not experientially knows not God, for God is, as to character and quality, love. And so this again, we just come back to love. God's quality of love is a distinguishing feature between an unbeliever and a believer, or characteristic. Let's go to 1 John 2:29. And I'm going to back up to verse 25 briefly here, just to get a little bit of context. And this is the promise that He has promised us, even eternal life. Now, we know from 1 John 5:11 and 12 and 13 that the Christian has eternal life now because he has the Son. He who has the Son has the life. And so what he's talking about here in this context, though, is to live out this eternal life, to love as Christ loves. Let me go ahead and go down to verse 29. He says, if ye know intuitively, this is intuitively know, that He is righteous, you experientially know that everyone doing righteousness is born, and here's our Greek preposition, ek, he is born out from Him. Let's go back to the Gospel of John, to chapter 1. I'm going to pick up verse 12 and 13. And so here we're looking at prior to the day of Pentecost, when he says he came unto his own things, and his own people received him not. This is kind of the idea in verse 11, John 1:11. But as many as received him, to them gave he authority to become the children, not the sons, as the King James reads here. It's children of God, born ones of God. And so this authority, this would be at the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit would come. That's when you would have these believers becoming children. They'd become born again. The Holy Spirit would have to come in order for the new birth to occur. Let's continue on in verse 12. Even to them that believe on his name. Now remember, name has the idea of character. Believe on his name. And we're going to see belief is an important part in our salvation. But he says here in verse 13, he says, which were born not of blood. And it's actually in the plural, not of bloods. And it's our Greek preposition ek. So he says, which were born not out from bloods. Now we're going to see that preposition several more times. Nor out from the will of flesh as the source. So they weren't born out from bloods. They weren't born out from the will of the flesh, nor out from the will of man. And so this is this little ek preposition. It gives you a lot more detail in this verse. These weren't born out from these things as the source. Bloods, the will of the flesh, nor the will of man. But, and so here we have a strong contrast. This is Allah in the Greek. It's a stronger contrast. But out from God. And so here, this little Greek preposition helps you to see that it's not out from the bloods, nor out from the will of the flesh, nor out from the will of man as the source. But they were born, aorist passive, by the way, it's a passive. They were born at a point in time, out from, as the source, God. And God here in the Greek is anarthros. So it's emphasizing deity. So you're born, these were born out from God as to source. Now, we see believing is an important part of the equation to being saved. And if we go back to John chapter 8, let's go to John 8:24 really quickly. I want you to see what one had to believe during Christ's earthly ministry. Because if somebody says believe, what is it they believe? You don't just believe, period. There's something in particular you believe. And so here during Christ's earthly ministry, we see what one had to believe when he was here on earth. And this is Jesus. And he said, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am. Now, the King James adds the ellipsis he. But I don't believe it should be there. Because he's emphasizing here that they needed to believe that he was the I am. The Old Testament of Exodus 3. He was the I am. And that's what they needed to believe. And he says, if they did not believe that he was the I am, you shall die in your sins. Well, we know that he died on the cross. He was buried and he rose again. And we know that believing is important to one becoming saved. And let's go to Romans 1:16. So believing is involved in salvation. And that's always been the case. But things change as far as what one has to believe. And in Romans... chapter 1:16, you see that believing is important. It's a part, or it's involved in salvation. And here Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the risen and glorified one. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." And so just to everyone believing, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So here we see the gospel of Christ. It's the power, the inherent ability of God unto salvation to everyone believing. Believing is involved. So you can see that, and you can see that there's a specific gospel, a specific good news. I want to stop on our way in Acts. I want you to go to Acts chapter 16. And we see how important believing is. In salvation. So in Acts 16, in verse 31, now in this context, this is the Philippian jailer. And this guy is an interesting guy. He takes his responsibility pretty seriously. And you can see that because this guy was going to take his own life when it looked like he may have failed in his responsibility. Let's see if we can grab that. Let's read verse 27, Acts 16:27. "And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors opened, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas." This is the Philippian jailer. "And he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" And so Paul didn't say, "Be circumcised and, you know, follow the Mosaic law." He said, and they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And so here he told them he needed to believe. But this isn't a gospel for initial salvation. This is good news that Paul's just given him, that he needs to believe. But he didn't tell him, in this verse at least, we don't see him telling him what he needed to believe. He needed to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but what did he need to believe about this person? This person, this Lord Jesus Christ, the divine master, the man, the humanity, the Savior, Jesus Christ, the risen and glorified one. Well, in verse 32, it says, "And they spake unto him the word of," or concerning, "the Lord, and to all that were in his house." So I believe in verse 32 is where Paul would have told him what he needed to believe concerning the Lord. Now it is interesting here that we have recorded that they spoke unto him the word concerning the Lord. Because you would have almost expected the title Christ here, the risen and glorified one. But he used the title the Lord. Well, let's go back to Acts, or I'll go back to Acts 2:36. And we see here that the title of Lord and Christ, it does go back to the cross work. (Clears throat) In Acts 2:36, it says, Peter, therefore, let all of the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. And so here, back in Acts 16, 32, and they spoke unto him the word concerning the Lord and to all that were in his house. And then I'm just going to continue on here, and we see that these are saved people. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, and he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. And so here we see the Philippian jailer and all of his household. They believed. They believed. They believed in the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe Paul, in sharing the word concerning the Lord, would have given him the gospel. And so we see the end result, though, is that they were saved. And so that their belief was directed at something that brought about the correct result, salvation. Now, so we see believing, though, is involved in salvation. Now, if we go to 1 Corinthians 15, it says, 1 Corinthians 15:1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and to which you stand, or by which you stand. Through which, the King James translates this by, but it's a Greek preposition, be better translated through. It's through this gospel, which also you are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Now, when we see the word vain in our English translation, it should be a little clue. You need to find out what that word means, because there's many Greek words that we find translated vain. And this word vain, we find many where we translate it empty, and then another that we find translate useless or worthless. Well, this word has the idea to no result. And so he's talking here, unless you have believed in vain. So there is possible to believe to no result. In other words, they didn't believe the necessary things that needed to be believed. So there was no result. Let me show you an example of this word just for an illustration. We're going to come back to 1 Corinthians 15, so you can hold your finger there. But go over to Galatians 3:4, and we see this word used two times in Galatians 3:4 that we see translated vain. And so we can see, I believe, that has the idea, though, to no result. Now, here, Paul, just pick up in verse 3, you'll get the context. Paul here says, are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now made perfect or mature by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? The idea of to no result. If it be yet in vain. And so there, this is our same word that they translated vain that we find over in 1 Corinthians 15. So there is a believing that can be to no result. And it would be because that believing, that faith has been directed at the wrong facts or the wrong thing. Now remember what Paul just said here in verse 15:1. He said, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. And so, and this, the word declare, it's just literally, I make known to you the gospel. He's making known to you the gospel, specific gospel. And this is the gospel in verse 2. Remember, through which also you are saved. And so it's through which you were saved. So now when we get to verses 3 and 4, now we're getting the facts of what needs to be believed. For I delivered unto you, verse 3, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And then we go on and we have the witnesses here of His resurrection. And so in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, we have the facts of the gospel, that what needs to be believed for an individual to be saved in this dispensation, the dispensation of grace. Now, I want to just show you just a couple other things, because some people like to believe that they chose to be saved, that they generated the faith to believe this gospel. And I don't believe Scripture confirms that. And so I just want to show you a couple things. And let's go to Ephesians 2:8. This should be a familiar verse to all of us. In Ephesians 2:8, it just reads, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." And so here's our ek preposition, and they translated it "of." And it says, "that not out from yourselves as to source." It is the gift of God. Now, there's some interesting Greek grammar here, and there's a couple different ways you could handle this. I'll just, for those that are studying the Greek a little bit, some things to think of is when you find grace, grace is a feminine. You'll find, so it says, by grace, you are saved. And so the participle, saved, you are, and the verb is a present active, but you are saved. It's a perfect passive participle, which just means that something that's accomplished with abiding results. You are saved with the abiding results that you are continuing to be saved, and that you are saved, you stand saved. It's a masculine participle, though. Then through faith. By grace are you saved, or are you being saved with the abiding result that you are saved? Through faith. Again, we find faith in a feminine. And then he goes on, he says, "In this." He says this, and he uses a neuter. Well, there's a couple different ways you could take this. The way I understand it, I take it back to the whole clause. The salvation that's by grace through faith, it's not out from yourselves as to source. None of it. It's a package deal. The salvation or the faith. Now, you could, theoretically, you could take it back to just faith, but it's... In wrestling around with this grammar, this is what I think Paul's doing here. None of it is out from you as the source. The salvation by grace through faith, it's not out from yourselves as the source. And then he says, it is the gift of God. He says that in a neuter. I'm thinking the whole package is what I believe he's talking about. The salvation by grace through faith, it's a gift from God, meaning salvation and the faith, the means to the salvation. And so, again, I think if we make faith something that man conjures up in himself to believe, man becomes the source for salvation. And that's contrary to Scripture. We are out from God as the source. And so this salvation by grace through faith, it is the gift. It's a free gift, a no strings gift from God. And so now there's a couple places we can go. And so let's go over to Philippians 1:29. And we can see that even the faith to believe the gospel for initial salvation, it's provided. Now, when you believe the gospel, you didn't know that. You heard the gospel and you believed. You directed faith at it. You believed. But you didn't know that God had supplied that faith to you so that you could believe. But salvation is a work of God. And let's go to, yeah, I said that already. I need to get there. Philippians 1:29. And so here we see, for unto you it is or was, it was given, graciously given. This is a word, grace. For it was graciously given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe unto him, it's or on him, and it's our Greek preposition eis, into him. And so here you see it was not only graciously given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe into him, but also to suffer, just it says for his sake, or just literally on behalf of him. And so given to believe, those given to believe into him. And so what was given to believe? Obviously, faith. Faith. And again, we see this referenced over in 1 Corinthians 3:5. So let's go there, and then we'll end with one last verse. 1 Corinthians 3:5. And so Dave talked about the Corinthians this morning and how they had party divisions. And here Paul's making reference to the issue that they were having. And you see in verse 4, for one says, I am of Paul. Another, I am of Apollos. Are ye not carnal? The answer is, of course they were. There was party divisions while they were saying that. And they were following men. And then in verse 5, Paul here writes, it says, who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed. And so the King James translated it by, but it's a Greek preposition, through. They were just instruments through whom they believed. Paul or Apollos, they didn't save anyone. But they may have been used as an instrument, and as an instrument, it was through whom these believed. And he says, even as the Lord gave to every man. It's just literally each one in the Greek. And so, even as the Lord gave to each one, what? He gave to believe. To believe. And so, again, a reference of giving to believe, and that would go back to faith. Faith to believe. And so, anyway, kind of fun, just continuing last week's message, just hitting some of these verses where we find the ek preposition. And you see, hopefully, some of its significance when we identify the ek preposition. It helps to bring some clarity into some, hopefully, some further appreciation for God's truth. And so, that's why we wanted to do that. I'm going to end with a verse, though, because I've been into a couple of verses we don't have the ek preposition, and since we're pivoting off the ek preposition, I'm going to end in a verse that has the ek preposition. So, just keeping in mind that, you know, love, Christ's quality of love, the love as Christ, is the one thing above all things that will distinguish us from unbelievers while we're here on earth. And to be able to fulfill the new commandment, we have to be spiritual believers. And so I want to bring you to 1 Corinthians 2:12. We're going to have an ek preposition in this verse, and it's translated of. You'll see it, it's of God, but let me read it. And it says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit, capital S, the Spirit which is out from God as to source." That's why I would capitalize it. It's out from God. It's obviously the Holy Spirit, and you can see that in the context. And so, now we have received, I'm going to read it again. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is out from God as the source. That," or just in order, "that we might know the things that are graciously," I'm going to translate this word graciously because it's off the root for grace, "that are graciously given to us, not of God," here because it's got the Greek preposition, "directly by the God." And so that's so here we see a reference, this ek preposition, out from the God. And it's kind of interesting how many times we find the first person of the Godhead referred to as the source, as the ultimate source of anything that's worthwhile. He is frequently referred to as the ultimate source of anything that's of value. And here we see that we've received the Spirit which is out from the God as the source. Let us close. Father, thank you for this opportunity to be in your Word. We're grateful for the truths and what it means to understand and appreciate our salvation more and more. We're just thankful for the things that you're doing and accomplishing in our lives. And may you continue to bless us and use us. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.